This is it. This is the pizza party. This is Filter. I'm Paul Rice. 1 to 3 every Friday. You never know what you're going to get unless I tell you in advance what you're going to get. And then you might know. And if you were paying attention to social media this week, you would know that this is going to be our first ever pizza party. And what that is we talk about probably Port Townsend and Jefferson County's most controversial subject that I can think of, at least in the culinary world, which is the slice, the bread and cheese, or is it bread and cheese, or can it be something beyond bread and cheese and sauce, and does it need sauce, and does it need toppings? What does it need? What is pizza? I don't even know. I know that I like to eat it, and I know that I like to eat it before I moved to Port Townsend 10 years ago, but I know that I've only become more and more specific about what I like about pizza and what my favorite things about pizza are, having lived here. And I find that it seems to be like a strange commonality in folks in Port Townsend. So I figured if we did a show about it, we could probably find out some interesting things about individuals, you know, who live in our fair burg, about their tastes and what's wrong with them. Just kind of figure out what's wrong with them based on what kind of pizza they like. And I think I have is Will O'Donnell on the line with me now.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Hey, I'm still alive, Will. I am still alive. That's good. The only response I have these days. But I'm feeling pretty good, and I'm really excited to talk about pizza for like 2 hours today. So, and I know that you have some opinions on this, but I guess first I want to ask for our listeners who don't know who Will O'Donnell is. Who is the real Will O'Donnell, and why is he a pizza expert?
Well, I do not claim to be a pizza expert, but I do have strong opinions on most everything.
Well, then we're going to have to cut this interview short then. I thought you were an expert.
Well, I mean, the quality of my opinion could lead others to think that I was an expert, but I don't want to claim such titles.
Well, okay. I guess we'll let you be humble for this. Let me check. Are you on speakerphone right now?
No.
Okay,
no.
Good. You're holding
the headset.
Okay, perfect, perfect. I just wanted to make sure because I can't always tell, and I unfortunately force my call-in interviewees to hold the cancer-causing device up to their ear or be on a headset. So you're lucky; you're gonna get out. Okay, yeah. So let's see. All right. So when was the? I guess talk about your first pizza memories. Maybe that'll help us understand why we should consider you an expert in this.
Okay. Well, so I grew up about 45 miles due north of Chicago on the Illinois-Wisconsin border, and on the Illinois side. And my dad's family, everybody came from the city, moved out in the 60s, out to the suburbs. But all of them were extremely opinionated about what their favorite pizza place was. So that was just what I grew up with. So we always, you know, there was, and not only was it your favorite pizza place, but it was your favorite pizza place for a particular topping or experience. And so it was cultivated in me that there was only certain types of good things, and that, you know, that the good things vary depending on the place.
I love that. Yeah, because that's sort of how people are taught, I think, not where I grew up in Seattle, where it's kind of like pizza is just this thing and we don't really have a ton of opinions on it. But like on the East Coast, you know, in the Midwest, where it is like one of the most divisive topics. And so does that extend to beyond pizza, like in terms of your opinions that only certain things are good and only certain ways of doing things are right?
No, I like the idea that it's all variable, you know, because like certain things can be good at certain times. You know, you can be in the right mood or setting to enjoy something. Like, there's not many a setting that I'm going to enjoy Domino's pizza, but I have been so hungry and or, you know, it's been so late at night that Domino's pizza was certainly appreciated. But yeah. Generally, I wouldn't recommend it.
That's funny because, yeah, my earliest pizza memories are actually of Domino's. My best early memories are when my parents would go like on a date, and I would be left home alone, and I would get a check, a blank check. Sometimes it had the number written in, and they would call and order a pizza, and then it was Domino's, and Domino's would show up, and it would be sausage only Domino's pizza. And I would write the number in on the check, or I would just give them the check and I would get the pizza. And then I wasn't really allowed to watch TV that much growing up, so I would sit down and watch Cops and eat pretty much a whole sausage Domino's pizza. So like, I actually can go eat Domino's now. And this is no way promoting Domino's, but it's just connected to my memory of it that I actually think of it maybe not as good, but as like satisfying a deeper part of me, a nostalgic part of me.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad that Domino's has agreed to sponsor KPTZ this season. They're really a fantastic company. I think they've come a long way, and I appreciate all that they do.
Domino's sucks. Don't buy Domino's. No, wait. Do buy it. I don't have an opinion. I'm just balancing.
Right, there you go. Yeah. So my dad would not eat Domino's pizza. He wouldn't eat Pizza Hut pizza, but he would eat Little Caesars. Huh. Little Caesars was the only like chain pizza that he would actually buy.
Okay. And was it like... Yeah, tell me more.
Oh, no, so I said Little Caesars, you know, and I can't remember what actually made it taste better, because we were all of the opinion that Little Caesars was actually good, whereas Pizza Hut and Domino's were terrible. And Domino's, I should say, wasn't really in the Chicago suburbs, at least my Chicago suburbs, until the 90s. So it probably was late 80s that Little Caesars showed up.
See, I always figured Little Caesars was like, they came along later and sort of tried to get in that Domino's market, but it sounds like they kind of came out or they were out already. I didn't do any research for this show other than eat pizza.
So I lived in kind of the poorer suburbs, so you know, we didn't have Red Lobster. I remember like Wendy's was, you had to drive far away to go to a Wendy's, and that was like you know, moving up in the world to get the deluxe hamburger.
Oh, and the Frosty,
so
don't
Domino's
forget Frosty.
Was probably, yeah. Domino's was probably closer to the city, but Little Caesars made its way up towards us quicker.
And so, is that the first pizza you remember eating was Little Caesars?
Oh, no. The first pizza, so we only had one type of pizza growing up. So most people think of Chicago pizza, and I'm not really sure why, as deep dish pizza. And where I grew up, north of the city, you could hardly get deep dish pizza. You could only get the what was called the Chicago square cut or a tavern pizza. It was like a thin, it wasn't a crackery crust, because it had a little bit of substance, but they did these tiny cuts so that you'd have a bunch of squares in the middle and all these little triangles on the edge. And the triangles were my absolute favorite, because I love crunchy crust.
Mm. Yeah, I'm trying to visualize that. It wasn't a square pizza. It was just cut in a way where the squares appeared. Was it actually a square pizza?
No, it was round. It was just cut. It was cut like imposing squares on it. At the edges, there would be little triangles. All the edges, you know, like rounded edge triangles and little. I can't exactly describe it.
It sounds delicious, and I really like creative new ways of eating things that actually could cause, because we're so often stuck in our rut about how a pizza should be cut, which I mean, we could probably do an entire show about what's the best way to cut your pizza other than the traditional way that we all learned in elementary school for doing fractions or whatever.
So, and we learned it this, I mean, I think we would have had to do our fractions with this crazy math if we did many fractions in my elementary school. But yeah, I didn't, you know, I knew that the triangular cut pizza was out there, but it was a long time. You know, I must have been 10 or 12 before I really was aware. I guess that by then I had been to a Pizza Hut. So they had more the triangle cut pizza.
Well, for our listeners just joining us, we're talking to Will O'Donnell, and I don't know, we didn't actually get a bio on you, Will. I'm curious how you would describe yourself, not as a pizza expert, but as a member of Jefferson County, and then we can relate that to your taste in pizza.
Yeah, well, I've been in Jefferson County for 20 years, and I've had the privilege of in all three districts. I started from Quilcene, moved to Chimicum, and then Port Townsend. And now I'm on my fourth zip code living on Maristone Island.
Oh,
it's been a wonderful time living on in Jefferson County.
So in that time, I'm sure you forged a lot of opinions about local pizza, which we're not going there yet, but we're gonna untangle those after the break. I still think I'm treating this like a job interview, you know, and making sure and confirming that our listeners can value Will O'Donnell's opinion with relation to pizza. Yeah, that's kind of, I don't know. I'm making this up as we go along mostly, but I think that's the idea here is we're going to really untangle your relationship to pizza. And then in the second part of our interview, we're going to go local and you're going to dish.
Okay. I'll dish.
So is that, we're talking about this round pizza that gets a square cut that leaves little triangles on the outsides of the pizza.
Which I would steal all of them before anyone else could get them, because I coveted them.
And you liked them because they were crispier and they just, so you would never give up a crust, I'm guessing. You would never eat a piece of pizza and leave crust.
I am that horrible person that eats all of my children's crust. Horrible and disgusting. Yeah, you know, it's bad.
Well, you know,
now in COVID, I would never do that.
You know what's horrible and disgusting is that your children don't eat their crusts.
Yeah, you know, they're starting to. They didn't for a long time, and I really was kind of shocked and disappointed. It was about the second biggest disappointment after them not crying at Old Yeller. When I showed them Old Yeller and they did not cry at the end, I thought I'd failed as a father, and I was disappointed, and I subsequently made them cry, but it wasn't natural, and it didn't feel good.
You probably don't want to go too much into that.
Well, so, I probably shouldn't. That's right.
Yeah. Even when Old Yeller gets taken out behind the woodshed and shot, so that's what happens to Old Yeller, right? Am I getting it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, because he gets hydrophobia, and it's a debilitating, deadly disease.
So I have thoughts on this. And we'll get back to pizza in a second. But did they have dogs growing up?
My children?
Yeah.
At the time that we saw Old Yeller, I'm not sure we had a dog then.
See, that's why. That's why they didn't cry.
That's probably true.
They didn't have context because let me tell you my Old Yeller story, because my parents never showed me Old Yeller, but they did show me Turner and Hooch. And oh my God, I lost it. I'm about to cry right now thinking about this memory because I was just like, no, wait, the dog's going to be okay. And the dog was not okay. And you know what? A puppy coming through at the end, that was not good enough. That was Old Yeller. Yeah. Hooch shouldn't have died. Man.
See, I was okay with that because I was a Turner and Hooch hater because Canine had come out first with Jim Belushi and an attractive-looking German Shepherd, and Jim Belushi being a Chicagoan, and just more of like a, you know, kind of a more edgy than Tom Hanks. I just thought that was a terrible ripoff of the movie that I preferred, and so I had no attachment to Hooch.
Well, I never saw Canine. Does the dog die in the end?
I don't remember.
Well,
I'll have to watch it again. I did start watching Turner and Hooch like 3 years ago with the kids. I couldn't get through it. Tom Hanks was really, he's kind of cranky in the beginning. He was not the lovable Tom Hanks I was expecting.
Well, he's a hard-bitten cop who doesn't want a dog for a partner. And I mean, really, when I think back,
he was more like a San Francisco dandy in it. You know, I think he made espresso in the first few minutes, which that was, you know, a kind of cultural taboo at the time.
What city does it take place in? We're talking about with Will O'Donnell about Turner and Hooch and pizza. We'll get back to pizza, but okay. So it was in San Francisco. Of course he made espresso in San Francisco. That's not where it, well, you know, yeah, that's everybody in.
I know, but growing up in suburban Chicago, if you made espresso, you were automatically the bad guy. I mean, there was no way, you know, you were automatically the pretentious guy who thought too much of himself and needed to be taken down a peg. So there's, you know,
so
that's why Jim Belushi, not that good looking, receding hairline, a little overweight, but with lots of pluck and vigor. You know, that was my guy.
Got it. Okay. Well, it's all making sense now. And your hard-bitten Chicago roots made it so that you couldn't appreciate Turner as a hard-bitten detective because he made espresso in the morning. And I guess now we just have to pull all San Francisco police officers in the early 90s and just see how many of them were making espresso at home, and if that was a more of an effete statement on San Franciscans than it was a statement on reality.
Right. Yep.
We'll get to that in our next show where we just talk about Turner and Hooch the whole time.
Okay, we can go back to pizza. So yeah, I have a theory.
Okay, you have a theory. On what?
Yep. I think you're a Ninja Turtle.
Okay.
Your love of pizza, like your first experience is Domino's, and your love of pizza just leads me to believe that you just like it as soft and as hot and gooey cheese you can get, and as much of it as you can consume. Is that correct?
Yeah, I sort of. It's sort of correct. If you're positing that theory, I guess what I'll tell you about my own love of pizza is that it really is born in large part, as in most things, based on my interests and loves. It's born out of video games. And not having really any video games to play as a kid, and going to Godfather's Pizza, which is now gone from our state, I think mostly gone from our state, but going to the Godfather's Pizza over in the Korean mini mall on Aurora in Seattle, and going to this like dimly lit, smoky place and getting a sausage pizza and playing games in the arcade, playing Galaga and playing Cable and all these amazing games that, you know, basically just blew my mind, and it was all I wanted to do with my time. And to connect that to the Godfather's Pizza, which, you know, is, it's not necessarily the cheese is gooey, but it is kind of stretchy, and the sausage has to be balls. And the crust is a little risen. You know, I can eat flat pizza, and I especially like the oven, brick oven pizzas that are flat. I can go with that. But you know, for my primary love, my identifier as pizza as being the best pizza, really it has to have that pizzeria feel that I would get at Godfather's and then go to the arcade and play and be able to do these two things at once that just were like the highlight of my existence. So, and Ninja Turtles were a big part of it too, but you know what, in the movies, you know, I didn't really read the comics as much, but in the movies, the pizza they got always looked so bad to me, because I guess probably because it wasn't really pizza, or they were trying to get the puppets to eat the pizza, and it looked really gross. I was never really excited about the pizza they ate in the movies. So I feel
no,
like...
I just was thinking you were a Ninja Turtle, not so much that you loved the Ninja Turtles pizza, but I hear you. I was also, from your story, what I'm hearing, you know, the first tale you told is that your parents leave you. They can go have fun without you.
Yes.
And they put on to keep you busy. So you're traumatized and you're eating this soft, warm, bland pizza. So either, you know, either pizza is like, it's either a blanket pizza or it's a diaper pizza. Either way, it's kind of, you know, extra spongy, warm, and these little sausage balls, which I always hated those as a kid.
Oh, man, those are the best. I would just eat a bowl of those. I would eat a bowl of those.
They're like rancid deer droppings. They're terrible.
You're so wrong.
So the other...
but wait, I have to push back. Since you're doing a therapy on me, I have to push back, because I was the one who put on... I was the one who put on Cops. I was the one who went for Cops. I wanted to watch Cops.
But you just... You needed that authority figure in your life because your parents were rejecting you.
Exactly. I needed to feel safe at home alone.
Right. And that justice was being done in the world.
I
could never stand that show.
It's terrible.
But that was a little late for me.
It's terrible. It's terrible. But for somebody who is kind of like media deprived, except for books, and you know, maybe in some ways, like, you know, somewhat sheltered, like it was like, whoa, you know, there's this whole world that you're not seeing from your suburban middle class life, you know. But it's really just mostly when I look back, I'm like, yeah, it was like domestic violence, and it was like, it was terrible things. And I mean, the whole genre that show created is awful. It's really terrible. And I guess I have some regrets, but, and it was also, you know, the other thing with Cops is that it was what was on Q13, which is our local Fox network. And it was pretty much the only station that had any shows that I wanted to watch on it. It had Temptation Island. It had Cops. It had The Simpsons, and it had The X-Files. And then when the X-Files did the Cops crossover episode, I was in heaven. It wasn't a very good episode, but I loved it. So my dad and I
and my brother, we loved Fox TV when it first came out. And when it came out, it's so different than what it is now. It was Channel 32, the UHF station in Chicago. So you had to go way to the left of the dial, I think. And, you know, they had the edgy shows. So they had The Simpsons. They had this show, was it called Silver Bullet? Or Werewolf? They had this great werewolf show with the guy who was in the movie Silver Bullet that was based on a Stephen King book. And they had the Married with Children, which was my father's favorite show. And the three of us would watch it together and eat pizza.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, so we're going to get into your song real quick, but I have one more question. I think it's an important one before we get into the next stage. And why is pizza such a controversial topic?
I don't think it is. I think just anybody can be an expert and everybody's got an opinion. I mean, I saw your Facebook thread about this, and, you know, I was surprised I got the nod because you had all kinds of people auditioning to be the pizza expert. But I think my quiet, my quiet calm and character just shone through. So I did get the call, which I appreciate. I appreciate you kind of seeing that.
Well,
like to advertise.
To all the listeners at home, right now we're doing this. I would love in the future, post-COVID, phase four, to have guests in the studio and then do a call-in pizza episode. So this is kind of like a harbinger of what's to come, which is definitely more crowd participation in our pizza conversations. So this is our second part of our conversation here. We've got about 10 minutes to talk about Jefferson County Pizza.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm not quite sure how I want to do this yet. What I have written is I kind of want you to rank your top three pizza places. If you don't have a top three, then you can, you know, do however many top that you have. But maybe keep it to three if possible. And just going to go in ascending order on those top three. I know I didn't ask you to prepare for this. I kind of wanted to put you on the spot so you would just have to think about it. In the moment,
I'm not going to go top three places. What I'll do is do top three pizzas. How's that?
Top three pizzas is great. Let's go four.
Let's go four.
So yeah.
My favorite is when Waterfront leaves a piece of cheese pizza under the heat lamp for about 6 hours, and it's totally burnt the cheese and it's super crispy. And that's the closest to getting back to like a Chicago square cut pizza.
Nice.
So that's my favorite. So, and they often will give it to you for free. So I guess I'm not supposed to say that.
Right, because it's the end of the night and nobody wants it because it looks like garbage, but it's actually really tasty. I think the music director of KPTZ, Ruby Fitch, also has that opinion, at least about Waterfront, being the best slices are the ones in the hot case that have been there for a long, long time. And you know, since we're talking about this, I'll just, I actually, when it's all that crispy with Waterfront, I can't handle it. I want it to be the wet, sloppy, you know, almost like not
diaper pizza.
It's, which is a compliment from me, you know, when it's just like ooey gooey and like maybe the dough is pretty much almost cooked through.
Just like the consistency of the diaper when it's saturated, got that softness and
so just familiar.
Slightly undercooked.
We both
raised small children.
Yeah, exactly. We've been there. So I guess one more question about that. Did you discover that love of a Waterfront pizza left in the hot case by accident, or was that something that you inherited as cultural knowledge when you moved here?
Well, I like pizza that's crispy. So, and where the cheese is really golden brown. So that I came with. So I'm always looking for the crispier pizza. Now, I know it's a favorite of yours, so I'm going to list it. Is Farino's? Well, I don't know if this topping is a favorite of yours, but I love going to Farino's because I've been working in Hadlock for a couple years now, and they have a great little lunch deal. It's comfy. Adam is the nicest. So I like their chicken cordon bleu pizza. And chicken cordon bleu, when my mom went out on dates when I was a kid, she would leave me with or either cook one of these pre-frozen chicken cordon bleus. And those were one of my favorite things in the world.
Wow.
So the chicken cordon bleu pizza is a favorite.
I love it. It's because it is kind of like white, middle and lower class fancy food, right? It's sort of like this elevated idea of you've wrapped a bunch of cheese in a chicken breast. It's a breast, right? Is the chicken cordon bleu?
Yeah, chicken breast. Yeah, with cheese and ham on the inside, and then breaded on the outside. You cut it open, and it just oozes all over. It's great.
So, and the pizza adequately replicates this. The pizza, the cordon bleu pizza at Farino's adequately replicates this and gives you sort of the Madeline moment of taking you back in time to our being home alone and eating a reheated chicken cordon bleu.
Yep. Yeah. Being back in my mom's apartment, you know, with my brother watching either The Last Dragon or The Neverending Story for the 500th time while she's out on yet another date.
Oh, man. You want to shout out your mom right now?
Hey, Mom. How you doing? She's not listening. But maybe she'll hear the podcast.
Oh, man.
Love you, Mom.
Well,
she was a fun mom, and I'm so glad she moved here a year and a half ago.
Oh, welcome to the area.
Just about a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to Donna, to the area, and Farino's, their chicken cordon bleu pizza is Will's top third favorite pizza.
No, two.
Oh, wait, I thought you said you were going to do four.
I'm going to do, that was number, well, okay, we go.
Because you got
I'm
four?
I'm not going in order of best to last.
I
like to also eat a whole.
Oh, you're not ranking here.
Pizza.
Oh, let's make sure we know.
Ranking.
You're not ranking. You're just giving top four without any preference. Yeah, got it. Okay. So
then
give us another one.
Then a whole dented buoy pizza.
Ah, okay. So wood-fired.
Yep, I like theirs. You know, I like those kind of fancy arugula kind of pizzas, so those are good for me. Arugula is a undersung pizza ingredient, in my opinion.
Yeah, so...
I ate it on a pizza in Italy, too. Loved it.
That's controversial, isn't it? Putting lettuce, basically. Is arugula basically a lettuce, or is it different?
No, arugula is a brassica related to broccoli and kale.
Got it. So it's more like putting broccoli on pizza than iceberg lettuce.
Yeah, also a fan of broccoli, yeah. Iceberg lettuce is going to just melt and get, you know, that's not a good idea.
Yeah, I just can't. I don't know. Well, I mean... I guess if it hits the wood fire oven and the arugula becomes a little crispy, I can't remember having a piece of pizza with arugula on it that I actually paid attention to, but.
So Tom Hanks, after he made his, espresso in San Francisco, he went to lunch and had an arugula pizza.
Seriously?
You know, that with goat cheese.
You're making this up. You're making this up.
No, but I also had lovely arugula breakfast pizza at Rose's in the Cow Palace section of San Francisco. And that was my first breakfast pizza experience, and I liked it.
Yeah, breakfast pizza, we don't see a lot of that anymore. It feels like that was like a 90s thing. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not a keeper of the culture, but...
I feel like I have to get my fourth one in before we run out of time. So
yeah, you're good. You got 5 minutes or so.
Okay. All right. So I love... you know, Hill Bottom Pies pizza. And I also like Tim Brick's pizza, depending on the situation. I watched a couple of NBA finals at the Tim Brick and just had a lovely time, particularly the one that the Cleveland Cavaliers won. That was great.
It made the pizza taste better.
It did. Yeah, the experience matters. Like, that's why Domino's can be good and just about any pizza. I mean, you know, I've had great... Tony's frozen pizza or Totino's, depending on the experience. You know, a couple of friends. There's no experience that you can't find a way to love something that you didn't care for before. There's always an opportunity. We have to be open.
I hear you, and I think maybe what we're unpacking right here is just what you said. Is so much of pizza is the context in which you eat it, and you know, even maybe what somebody else considers bad pizza will seem so good to somebody else because of the positive memories and the poor taste of the person eating it, maybe. That'll create this forever love that's kind of inescapable. And that speaks to all food, I guess. But pizza's so ubiquitous for us in the United States that it ends up being the thing that we can all talk about and have an opinion on.
Yep. Yeah. Right. No, I think it's great. And you know, it's easy to get critical. I'm critical all the time. I don't want to be critical of local pizza. I hope they all succeed. But yeah, it's great to, I try to keep that open mind for myself and find a way to enjoy things at the right time and place. Oh, I did want to mention one more pizza though.
Yeah, do it.
Cause my it's in Seattle. I don't even know if they're open still, but I for a while before I was working in Seattle. And it was so fun because Seattle has this great thing called that restaurants are open after 10 p.m. I don't know. they don't have that here. But it's this really cool innovation, especially if you work late. So there's a place called Dino's Pizza up on Capitol Hill. Some guy, Brandon or something, his wife had another famous pizza place in Ballard. But anyway, they do kind of a square-cut Little Caesars-looking pizza. But it's the perfect marriage between the soft and the crispy. And I think you and I will have to go check it out sometime.
What's the place called again?
It's Dino's Tavern.
Okay.
I can't remember. I think it's like Olive and I can't remember. It's been too long.
Well, I have three responses to the things you've said. I've been keeping them. So first, okay. I just want to say my order at the Tin Brick, when I'm not in gastrointestinal duress, as I was earlier this week, which is a story maybe I won't tell on the air. My order is I get usually I go with somebody else, hopefully, my family or something. And I always get a cheesesteak and I hope that somebody else orders a pizza and that I get a slice of that pizza. And then I wrap my cheesesteak in the slice of pizza. And I'm told this is called a Philly taco by the internet. I'm salivating right now just thinking about it.
That sounds like another straight up Ninja Turtle move. You are totally a Ninja Turtle.
The Philly taco. So, and then in terms of, Seattle pizza places, there's this place called the Northlake Tavern, which in my family, it's a tradition. When you turn 21, you go to the Northlake and you order a pizza because they do not let kids in. This is pizza that is, you could get it as takeout, but it's not the same as getting it as your table. This is pizza that's reserved for the drinking crowd, the 21 plus crowd. And it's this just seedy little bar tucked under the bridge, under the I-5 overpass. And for Seattle pizza, we should do a tour. Seattle pizza, A1 Pizza Mart, great combination bar and pizza place.
I think we need to do a remote show after COVID is over where we just travel with the mics and broadcast from the different pizza places. That would be hilarious.
Yeah, we might actually get four listeners instead of three on that episode. Well, hey, we've been talking to Will O'Donnell. Will O'Donnell is a person of many hats, but most importantly, we've determined that he is most definitely a pizza expert, and he has given us a lot of sage wisdom on pizza. Will, thank you for being here today.
Oh, it was an honor and a pleasure, Paul. Thank you so much.
All right.